Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Let's turn to the United States now, where following further unrest, police in Los Angeles say they're conducting mass arrests after Mayor Karen Bass declared a curfew for parts of the city.
A local emergency and issued a curfew for downtown Los Angeles to stop the vandalism, to stop the looting. So my message to you is, if you do not live or work in downtown LA, avoid the area. Law enforcement will arrest individuals who break the curfew and you will be prosecuted. The curfew will be in place tonight from 8 p.m. until 6 a.m. I will consult with elected leaders and law enforcement officials tomorrow on the continuation of the curfew, but we certainly expect for it to last for several days. The area of downtown where the curfew will take place is 1 square mile.
Well, a huge amount of damage has been done to local businesses, estimated in the region of millions of dollars. On the ground, there's anger at troops, especially Marines, being brought in to patrol the streets. Donald Trump ordered the deployment of nearly 5,000 troops, including National Guard and Marines, to the nation's second largest city. Those troops could be there for the next 60 days while immigration raids are happening. In a televised address, the California governor, Gavin Newsom, launched a blistering attack on President Trump and issued a warning to other states on what he thinks might be to come.
This brazen abuse of power by a sitting president inflamed a combustible situation, putting our people, our officers, and even our National Guard at risk. That's when the downward spiral began. His agents are arresting dishwashers, gardeners, day laborers, and seamstresses. That's just weakness, weakness masquerading as strength. Donald Trump's government isn't protecting our communities. They're traumatizing our communities. And that seems to be the entire point. When Donald Trump sought blanket authority to commandeer the National Guard, he made that order apply to every state in this nation. California may be first, but it clearly will not end here. Other states are next. Democracy is next. Democracy is under assault before our eyes. This moment we have feared has arrived.
Well, for more on this, I'm joined by journalist Marion McKeown. Marion, California was your home for many years. It's extraordinary to hear the governor saying what he is saying, but we have to sort of temper this and realise that there's politics playing out on both sides here, right? And we don't know what Gavin Newsom's intentions might be when it comes to running for president one day.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And to frame it in that context is important there. I think immediately you have a crisis that has been really largely created, and I think quite deliberately, by the Trump administration. They've had LA in their crosshairs pretty well since the beginning. And Gavin Newsom, of course, has history with Donald Trump from the first Trump term, when he was the governor who sued Trump over various transgressions more than any other governor. And he was sort of seen as the guy who wasn't afraid to take Trump on. Now, we have a situation here at the moment where things have really changed in the second Trump term, and a lot of things he wanted to do in his first term are now coming into effect because he has the public support as well as the political support to do it. Now, to put LA into perspective here, LA is a massive city. It's really hard, unless you've been there, to know how far it spreads in terms of just geography alone. So the downtown area of LA, where this curfew is about a square mile. It's a tiny pocket of LA. It's City Hall, it's the courts. Not a lot of people live around there anyway. People go there to work. It has got a considerable homeless population, which I believe are exempt from the curfew. But I think what Karen Bass was doing here was showing, we can handle this ourselves, Donald Trump. We don't need your troops. We don't need the Marines. We've got this under control. And I think it's important for LA and for Gavin Newsom to be able to say, look, this 4,000, I think it's 4,000 National Guardsmen and 700 Marines who have been deployed or are on standby or have been mobilised, it's completely unnecessary. And that's the point they're trying to make. Mm-hmm. On the other side, it seems that the Trump administration are determined to escalate this. They're determined to have more and more ICE raids over the next 60 days or thereabouts. And also, just in terms of the context of what this does to the community, LA County is about 10 million people, about 3.5 million of those are immigrants. They're immigrant populations. They're largely working class. A lot of them work in the, you know, the fruit picking industries. You know, they work as domestic helps. They work in transport in other areas. Of that 3.5 million, about 800,000 to 1 million are undocumented, but they live in mixed status households, which means, you know, you may have a grandmother who's undocumented who takes care of the children while the mom goes to work. And so the sort of fear that these raids are striking into these communities, fear and anger, cannot be really underestimated. And it doesn't take much for a spark to ignite the tinderbox. And mm-hmm. that is what Newsom is afraid of. And this is where we are.
So, I mean, I'm reading that we have all of these Marines in a holding area, hundreds
That's
of
right.
them, 30 miles south of LA. But I've been trying to get a handle on, and maybe you can explain this to us, Marion, what exactly is happening on the ground? How widespread are the protests? How many people are turning up? And are they running into trouble? You know, are they turning into riots or are they peaceful?
There have been some inexcusable violent acts. There have been cars set on fire. We saw, I think it was on Sunday night, the four or five different Waymos were summoned to the area by people who were there just to cause trouble, and they were torched. And then you saw people spraying them with graffiti, standing on top of them, and really just doing this deliberately to be provocative. And Newsom's frustration with that was apparent, and he said, "You're playing into the hands of Donald Trump, who's just looking for an excuse to crack down on this community." So there has been violence. It's undeniable that people have come in and done violent acts that are inexcusable and they should be arrested. Mm-hmm. But the vast majority of protesters have been peaceful. And we saw on Saturday afternoon, before Donald Trump federalized the National Guard, we saw the chief of police, the LAPD chief police, congratulating the crowds who had turned out in Paramount and in other areas and saying, "Thank you for being peaceful. Thank you for respecting the law." And I'll just reference back very quickly to I was on the ground in LA during the George Floyd riots.
Yes.
And the National Guard, and this is something that I think maybe the listeners probably aren't that aware of. National Guard are not full time. They are teachers and bus drivers and plumbers and people like that who train one weekend out of every four, and they do a sort of a National Guard camp 2 weeks of the year. So they're people who live in the communities. They're the neighbours of these people who they are now being set against. And during the George Floyd riots, I saw them take a knee in sympathy with the protesters. And a couple of them said to me, "These are our neighbours. We don't want to be facing off against them." But they were called in that instance by the then mayor, Eric Garcetti, and by Gavin Newsom to keep calm. But even though there were fierce protests during George Floyd, and there was some violence, quite a lot of violence actually, by and large, the National Guard and the protesters had really good-natured exchanges. This is quite different because there's so much fear in the communities, and possibly part of the intention may be to set the National Guard, who are from these communities in LA, against their neighbours. It seems that this is deliberately provocative because there was no objective reason for Donald Trump to do this. Mm-hmm. The LAPD had the protests well under control, and I think from that point of view, Gavin Newsom's evident frustration is justified, because there really was, the last time this happened was in 1965. There was no need for it.
Now, let's talk about what's been happening with Elon Musk, because he's been back on X and he regrets some of the mean things he said about Donald Trump. But we know from what Donald Trump said last week that he's not interested in repairing the relationship. So what do we read into what Elon is saying? Does he want to buddy up to Donald Trump again, or is this just damage limitation?
Oh, I think it's both. I think, you know, he said he regrets some of the things he said. And I was thinking, well, what does he regret? Does he regret the call for impeachment? Does he regret the very strong implication that Donald Trump was a paedophile, you know, was very involved with Jeffrey Epstein? Does he regret saying you'd never have won only for me? Or does he regret saying, "And your bill is rubbish"? I mean, really, like, take your pick. I think that he's going to have to go a lot further before Donald Trump will never welcome him back into the fold. There's never going to be the two of them cavorting on stage together like there was, and the expressions of love and admiration. That ship, it hasn't just sailed, it has sunk to the bottom of the ocean. But Trump does need Elon Musk to a degree. And it's very interesting to me, at this collision of power and wealth, power will always win. power will always win. And even though Trump does need Elon Musk because there are astronauts in space who can't get home unless he goes to Musk or the Russians, you know, they do need Starlink, they need a number of other things. But Musk has all, let's not feel too sorry for Elon. Elon Musk was worth about $220 billion before he invested $288 million in Donald Trump winning. He has since more than doubled his wealth. He's lost about $100 billion, but he's still up $100 billion.
You know, he's still worth about
he'll be fine, but he wants to be back in the inner circle because everybody wants to be in that inner circle now. And you can see that he's taking the steps, he's eating the humble pie, but Trump will require further humiliation from him. This won't be, you know, there won't be any hearts and flowers coming from Trump at this point. Musk will be required to do more. And as I say, even then, Trump had wanted him out of the White House long before he gave him the tacky key and the little farewell party.
Oh, yeah, the black eye that day, people will remember.
That black eye, it was more metaphorical than we realised at the time, Claire.
Marion, always great to talk to you. Thank you so much. Marion McKeown there. Now,